Jeff, you bad
Welcome back, podcast world. I'm your host, Rasta Jeff. This is episode 854 of the Grow From Your Heart podcast. In today's episode, I'm going to answer a question about bud washing. Before we get to that part of the show, I want to do a couple of shout outs to a couple of folks who support the show on Patreon. Let's kick it off with a big Grow From Your Heart podcast thank you shout out to my friend Levity Loveday. Let's send a big fist bump and a thank you shout out to Zoso J. Let's send a big thank you shout out to my friend Ars Kickerson. Big thanks for all of the Patreon support. If you want to support the show on Patreon, make sure you check patreon.com/growfromyourheart. All right, I think that's all of the business at the front of the show. Let's jump into the email portion of today's podcast. This question came from my website, iregenetics.com. That's right, iregenetics.com. There's a Grow Help tab. It says Grow Help right at the top of the page. Click on that tab. If you send me a Grow question and I read your question here on the podcast, I will send you a coupon code for a free pack of seeds. So my new friend Mitch, make sure you check your inbox and check your spam because you've got a coupon code for a free pack of seeds at iredirect.com. The question goes a lot like this. It says, it is getting toward the end of the outdoor season for us here in Canada. Hey, Mitch, I'm not sure that I'll be able to ship you seeds in Canada. The Canadian, what's it called, Health Canada, they will not let me send you seeds. They will get rejected. They will get returned to me with the letter saying, please stop doing this. So send me a message. We'll get you a shirt or a hoodie or something out there for your prize. Please do reach out. But anyway, it is nearing the outdoor harvest season in Canada, yes, and also in Colorado and many other places across our beautiful continent here. It says, do you have or have you ever washed your outdoor crop for outdoor contaminants? If so, is there a process that you recommend? Yes, I have done this before. I have seen this done a lot. I've actually washed an indoor crop because a facility that I worked in, they hired me to kind of rescue this facility, and they were in the middle of a flowering phase, and that crop had a bunch of weird stuff on it, just dirt and debris and possibly bugs, and I felt like it was pretty filthy. So we even washed an indoor crop just to be extra careful. But yes, let's talk about this a little bit. You've got plants outdoors. They've been out there for at least 9 or 10 weeks. They've had big, fat, sticky buds on them for probably 4 or 5 of those weeks. Within that time frame, those plants have probably gathered a lot of just natural dirt and dust. Every time you go out there, your feet kick up dirt and dust. Every time the wind comes by, more dirt and dust. You may not see it, but it is happening. There's a little bit of dust and dirt traveling. Every time the wind comes by, every time your feet stomp, every time a car drives by, I don't know where your plants are, but shit happens, life happens, nature happens, dust and dirt do happen. Those things are in the air, and your plants should, hopefully, they should be sticky. Sticky plants, dust in the air, you're going to get dusty, dirty plants. It's just naturally how it's going to happen. It's not because you're dirty. It's not because outside is dirty. It's because wind, dirt, dust, that's how shit works. So basically, you're going to start with a little bit of dirt and dust. Then there's a good chance for a little bit of bird poop. How many times has a bird flown over your garden and taken a poop? If you got a whole bunch of yardage, more opportunity for more bird poop. There may be a bird turd you don't even know about. So that's more stuff that could end up on your plants. Also, we're going to get a lot of bugs. Not just the bugs that you're used to on your ganja plants, but bugs that may have just been traveling through. They didn't realize that that plant was a sticky trap. They walked up against that kush plant and got stuck. Now you got a ladybug here, you got a little beetle over here. You're going to find stuff like that. Where there's bugs, guess what else you get? Bug poop. There's going to be bug poop on these plants. So what I'm saying is, outdoors, you may have the opportunity for a lot of funky shit to develop on these plants. So it is never a bad idea to wash these plants. A lot of people may be freaking out. They're thinking you're going to put the plants in water, you're going to put the plants in a solution and wet them. Yes, we are. These outdoor plants have probably been, possibly, been hit by rain and moisture, so a little bit of rinse will not harm them, will not do them any harm if you do it correctly. For you people that say that's how you make hash, yes, we're not going to add the ice, we're not going to do it as aggressively. It's a little bit different of a process, however very similar, but we're not going to damage the plant. All right, let's jump right into the process. There's nothing left to do here but talk about the process of how I would go about washing some of these plants. I wrote down a very short, very simple standard operating procedure. As a responsible adult, as somebody who is giving guidance and teaching people, I should start off by saying, I'm going to tell you to use a couple of products or one of two products mainly. When you use this product or these products, please use all of the recommended personal protective equipment. if you use any of these products and you do harm, hurt, damage yourself, others, your plants, your stuff, I am not responsible, because I'm telling you right now, read the fucking label, do it properly, be safe. I highly recommend good nitrile gloves, 6M or thicker. We're just going to say 6M. It's what it says in the package. 6M or thicker gloves. I think it's millimeters. 6 millimeter gloves or thicker is what we would recommend in the Department of Agriculture recommendations. So you want gloves for sure, especially while you're mixing this stuff. The undiluted products that I'm going to tell you to use are very caustic. They will damage your skin. You'll get white burns on your skin. It sucks. It kind of does hurt if it goes deep. Don't do that. If you get it in your eyes, you're fucked. So wear some goggles, especially while pouring and mixing. I recommend gloves and goggles. And if you could do a long sleeve shirt, always wear pants and shoes. Try to be as covered as possible. If you got dreadlocks, tie those up. Get them covered up. Cover up any kind of hair you got. But you do not want this on your skin. You do not want it in your eyes. It will burn your eyes. It will be a problem. What we're going to use, one of two products. Use one of these two. Do not use both. It is overkill. You don't need both. One may be easier to find than the other, depending on your location, depending on how much of a hurry you were in, depending on your budget is the word I'm seeking. But the two products I would recommend, we would start with a product called Zerotol, not the one from Ed Rosenthal. There's another Zero Tolerance product from Ed Rosenthal. Do not use that. We want Zerotol, the one that smells like hydrogen peroxide. That is the Zerotol product you want. That is the product I am looking for. The other product I would recommend is the 30 or 35% hydrogen peroxide. That's why I recommend using gloves. Both of these products are caustic. They will burn your skin. They will burn the shit out of your eyes. Use gloves, use goggles. That's the last time I'm going to say it. Be a responsible grower, responsible adult. So we have got either the Zerotol or the 35 or 30% hydrogen peroxide. The next thing I recommend we need is a 5-gallon bucket. The next thing, guess what we need? Some water, bro. We're going to fill this 5-gallon bucket up with water. Leave a little bit of room because we're going to be dunking shit in here. Allow room for displacement. You may want to top it off a little bit later as you go, because water will spill out and water is going to disappear into the plants. But a 5-gallon bucket is the next step that I recommend. Then I would put, depending on how dirty your product is, depending on how hard you want to go with these products, I would start with somewhere between 25 and 50 milliliters of the 33% hydrogen peroxide or Zerotol in a 5-gallon bucket. So that's 25 to 50 milliliters in a 5-gallon bucket of water. You should have about 4 1/2, 4 3/4 of a gallon of water in there, and 25 to 50 milliliters of this product, depending on how dirty you think your crop is. If you've got powdery mildew, maybe go up to the 50 milliliter. If you don't have any powdery mildew, you could start lower and work your way up and watch the water and see what happens. It's going to be funky. So we're going to pour in the either one of the two products, not both. You're going to put Zerotol or hydrogen peroxide at 25 to 50 milliliters while wearing gloves and goggles. I said it'd be the last time I lied to you. Stir that up. Get that in there. Get it homogeneous. That's the word, right? Get it all stirred up properly. Then basically what we're going to do, we're going to chop the plants into manageable pieces. So if you cut the plant properly, think about you're cutting the plant from the top. If you work your way down, there's a point where that main branch is coming up. There's another branch coming off of the side, just a little short shoot. Cut below that, and you can use that little short shoot as a hook to hang that plant upside down or to hang that branch upside down. Repeat that process all the way down. That's how I usually do it. So I would cut a branch off or cut a section off, a node. Then what I would do while wearing my gloves, I would just dunk, chop, and then dunk that straight into that hydrogen peroxide. Get all of the flower part in there. If you got buds all the way up here, go all the way to your fingers. Dunk that into the hydrogen peroxide solution. Give it a couple of swirls. Don't go too crazy, just a couple of swirls, and you'll see what floats out of it. If you've got powdery mildew, you watch that powdery mildew break off and float out of it. If there's bug shit, bird shit, bug eggs, bugs, dirt, dust, debris, all that stuff is just going to float right up to the top. You're going to see all of it. Pull that flower, pull that branch, that flower out of there. Now, the other option, some people do this, some people don't do this. You can give it a rinse in another bucket of just clean water. A lot of people will go from that hydrogen peroxide bucket into a clean water rinse. And then at that point, I put it on I use like a hanger like you would for a t-shirt, the same exact hangers I buy for all my t-shirts. I buy another bundle of hangers and then Hang those up. So we should probably talk about harvesting. We'll talk about more of that part in detail toward the end. But I will use that coat hanger, and I'll put two or three of these wet branches on there and hang those on a line or something, which we're going to talk about in the future. So dunk it, give it a good swirl, and hang it. It's really not that much of a challenge. I've got my notes are 5-gallon bucket, 30 to 50 milliliters, gloves and goggles, chop, dunk, swish, hang. And then it says optional, second rinse. And that's basically how you do a bud wash. It's really not that difficult. It's just like it would sound. You're going to take these fresh buds. They're fresh buds. Do this when the plant is wet. I've got to stress that right now, right? Do this while the plant is fresh and wet. You want this like literally chop, dunk. If you can do chop, dunk, like in that quick of a process, maybe chop the whole plant, move it to the area, chop it into manageable pieces. Like remember that little part I said we're using the one, the hook is your little hanger piece. So chop mindfully with hooks and then chop them, dunk them, swish them around, hang them up, and then get them to your dry and cure area. Now let's focus a little bit on the area where we are going to hang these plants. These plants are going to be dripping water. You just dunk them into a bucket of water and possibly into another bucket of water if you're choosing to do the second bucket. They're going to be dripping water. I recommend doing this somewhere where you can just get the floor completely soaked and not have too much of an issue stressing over it, or you're going to have to mop up that water frequently or manage that water. In one of the facilities where I did this, we had a fully concrete floor, so it wasn't too big of a deal. That water dripped out into the concrete floor. It made a little mess right under the plants. Put a fan on there. It dried up quite quickly. Wasn't too big of a deal. In another place we did it outdoors. It just dripped onto the ground. Not too big of a deal. But keep in mind, there will be water dripping out of these plants. Not a whole lot of water, depending on the size of your plants, the size of your buds, but there will be water dripping out. So, think about having a way to move that water. You want some airflow in there, and you want some water to be removed from these plants and from the room. Not rapidly. You want this to happen at a natural, slow pace, but you may want a few fans in that room to move that air around. You don't want any stagnant water sitting anywhere. So don't have a fan just blowing on the plant just the whole time. That's going to piss things off. Have it passing occasionally and just have it moving and mixing. Don't have all your fans moving together in sync. Have the air mixing and moving, and try to have some sort of extraction, moving that air out of that area, that water out of that area where those plants are. Let me get back to my notes and get myself back on track. I'm high as shit and rambling. Shout out to my friends at Green Dot Labs. I took a dab of lemon butter rum, and it's got me going a million miles an hour. Big fist bump to the crew. Where were we? Hang them dry, put a fan on there, but not direct. The floor is going to get wet. You may need a dehumidifier, depending on the size of your room, the amount of plants. A dehumidifier will help you out drastically. Try to keep the room, just like when you're drying and curing, around 50 to 60% relative humidity, and also about 60 degrees if you possibly can do that. A lot of people argue about parameters. I'm not super picky. It's going to work. You will have good product. I like that 50 to 60% relative humidity range. That works for me. People say 50, people say 60. If I give you a range, nobody can argue. All right, let me stay on track here. The floor is going to be wet. Get lots of air exchange. If you can move the air in and out of that room, like get that humid air out and fresh air in that room, that will help you. We just don't want these wet buds to get stale, funky, and that's when you'll start to get problems. We need airflow. We need fresh air in there. We don't want any stagnant air at this time because we've got wet, soggy buds. We just purposely dunked these buds. They're super wet. Keep the air moving. I can't stress that enough. Gentle fans and lots of air exchange is underlined twice on this page. So make sure you got fans in there. I'm going to say it again. Moving the air around, mixing and moving that air, not blowing directly on the plants because that will piss them off. Even if they're just drying, they'll dry too quickly. We still want to slow dry them. We just want to get this water out and then actually restart the regular dry and cure process. Once this water is gone, it may, depending on the size of your plants, it could take 4 hours, it could take 24 hours to get back to where you started before you dunked them. Honestly, it depends on the room and the size of the plants, the density of the buds, lots of factors there. Get a lot of airflow in there, air exchange. A dehumidifier may be an option at this time. You may need some ducting to suck the air out of that room. I don't know your setup, but I want you to be prepared for this before we even get there. Be mindful when you are hanging these plants. I talked about putting them on a hanger and hanging them up. Be mindful when you are hanging up these plants. You don't want them touching. You don't want them pressed together. Have a couple of inches. At least be able to put your hands between every plant, between every branch that's hanging so that we do not get any water trapped in there. If you can go in there and move them around, you'll notice that no matter how much airflow you put in that room, you're going to have microclimates. Some of the buds over here are going to dry more quickly than some of the buds over here. Switch them. Why not just swap them places? Don't be shy. Don't be afraid to go in there and move shit around. That could be a very good idea. The stuff that's been right by the fan for 3 hours, put it way over here and put some new shit that hasn't been near the fan by the fan. Just adjust and keep those. Give them a lot of love, care, and attention is basically what I'm trying to say. So be mindful when you're hanging those plants. Be prepared before you start chopping these plants. That's something that I should have talked about in the beginning. Before you even cut down, before you think about cutting down the plants, before you put on your gloves and get your big cutting shears or whatever, your chainsaw, whatever you're using, be prepared 100% for this process. Have your buckets, have your water, have your peroxide or your xylitol, have your gloves, have your goggles, have a table and some space. Keep in mind, this is going to be a process. You're not just try to give yourself a clean, safe, sanitary workspace that you're proud of, that you're going to be comfortable in. Depending on how many plants, you may be at this for a while. Make it something you're proud of. The more you prepare, the more you will have success. I know that sounds like some shit that dad would say, but guess what? I'm a dad and I'm fucking right, dude. The more you prepare, the better chance you have for success. And also the more chance you have to enjoy it. If you just clean up the space around you, get the things you need on the table, have everything you need before you start doing it. When it comes time to do it, it's so smooth that it's fun. You guys are high-fiving each other, whoever's with you, instead of like, fuck, bro, go get this. Ah, shit, we fucked up. It's like, oh, man, we got everything we need. We're doing it super smooth. So get everything you need before you even start chopping the plants. And having everything you need also includes having the room ready. I've got some notes here that I did overlook. Airflow, temperature, humidity, and security. When these plants are going somewhere, you need to have airflow in that room. You need to get the temperature and humidity right. I talked about those things, but I did not talk about security. Where are you going to put this harvest? Where is it going? Where is this harvest going to go once you chop it down? It's been growing for a while outside. Everybody knew you had it. When you cut it down, if anybody was looking, they'll know those plants are gone and they'll know they are hanging somewhere too dry. There may be somebody out there looking for those plants. I don't mean to make you paranoid, but I want to make you aware that people were looking. There were probably a couple of people. Somebody you know knows that these plants just got harvested. One of your neighbors has been looking over the fence every day and they saw those plants. Now they're gone. They're going to go, oh, I wonder where they are. That's just how people think. That's how people in my neighborhood think, unfortunately. That's the shit I've got to prepare for. So I'm going to tell you to think about security and safety of these plants. Where are they going to go when you cut them down? Do you have a locked area where you can put them, a garage, a safe? And think about your security. Think about everybody you know. If you've got cameras, now's the time to adjust them. Put them focused on where these plants are. All right, that's security is a huge issue right now. That's what I'm talking about. Now let's talk about having all of the shit that we need before we even start chopping down these plants. I want you to be prepared. This is going to not just be around the chopping of the plants initially. This is going to lead us into the full harvest process and also leading up to the trim process. I prefer a dry trim. I let the plants dry before I trim them. But the time between chopping them down and trimming them could be 7, 10, 14 days, depending on your location, your environment. A lot of things will come into play here. So start thinking about that now. Before we cut down these plants, be ready all the way to chop them down, dunk them, hang them, keep them preserved to where they dry and cure slowly, then be ready to trim them. That is the thought process I want you to have. Now, it's all 1 week-long work process, maybe a too long, maybe even longer for some of you folks out there. Some of you guys will be cutting down till New Year's, but be prepared now so that shit goes correctly. I think I gave this same speech last year now that I'm talking about it. I think I gave this exact talk last year now that I'm thinking about it. Make sure you check that episode for the things that I missed on this episode. Combine them, you'll have the Turbo Harvest Prep episode. All right, where were we? Things we're going to need for this harvest. I've mentioned them before, gloves. I like to buy a fresh pack of gloves, the box of gloves right before harvest time in multiple sizes. Who's coming over to help you? Are you going to have friends, helpers? Who may be helping you trim this crop? Is your girlfriend helping you? Is your best friend helping you? Is another grow partner helping you? Do you all wear the same size gloves? Unlikely. I would say order, find out who's coming over, what size gloves they wear, and order them or go buy them as soon as possible so you've got them before the harvest starts. We're going to need gloves. We're going to need scissors. Scissors for each person to trim, and also bigger scissors to cut the plant down. Do you have some sort of shears, some sort of chopper, a chainsaw, a handsaw, anything? We need something to cut that plant down with. Start thinking about that now. The bigger the plant, the more cutting power you're going to need. Don't fuck your hand up by buying the wrong tool. Buy the right tool. It will cut smoothly if you do it correctly. Some sort of hangers. So we're going to cut down the plant. We're going to cut it into smaller pieces. We're going to dunk it. We're going to swish it. We're going to rinse it. We're going to hang it up. In my system, it goes onto a coat hanger. And that coat hanger hangs on a line that goes across a full room. There's an eye hook on that side of the room, an eye hook on that side of the room, and a piece of fishing line goes across the room. And then I hang all of the hangers on that fishing line. Make sure you know how to tie a real good knot so that shit doesn't fall in the middle of the night and freak you out and piss you off. Wet weed hitting the dirty floor, if that is frustrating, especially after you've already dunked it. So hang that shit up properly. One fish eye here, one fish eye here. You got a cable, a fishing line, a good twine going across. Then I put two or three little branches on each coat hanger. I hang those coat hangers up on that fishing line. So whatever you need to get that line system going, you can do a vertical rack if you want to use chicken wire and put coat hangers or just branches of weed on the chicken wire. Spread them out properly. There are a lot of ways to do it, but start thinking about that now before we cut down the plants. So we got gloves, scissors, hangers, a line or a rack to hang that shit on. Now we're going to get into the small details. Some rubbing alcohol to clean all of your scissors and all your shit, because everything's going to get sticky during harvest time. Also, all the hippies use coconut oil. If you get your fingers all sticky, you need to get this the sticky off your fingers, out of your arm hair. Coconut oil works beautifully. Go buy a fresh jar of coconut oil. Dish some of it out for each person. I think it's tacky as shit sticking everybody's hand in the same coconut oil jar. But dish some out. Maybe bring your own coconut oil. But that will clean your hands real good. Get the sticky off there. It also works to clean your scissors. Put a little coconut oil in a dish. Set the scissors in there. Rub them. Massage it off. That the sticky will come right off. What else do we need? Some snacks, bro. Trimming and harvesting. People forget about eating and how long it's going to be. Get a cooler. Put some ice in that cooler. Put some good fucking drinks in there. Ask everybody that's coming over, what do you like to drink? Folks know that I like coconut water, Fiji water, and a good lime-flavored Jarritos. Get the drinks that your friends like. It's not that hard to stop by the store and pick up a few drinks, especially if they're coming over to help you trim and harvest your weed. They'll be there for hours. You're going to be smoking and laughing. It's going to be worth the whatever it costs to go get a couple of sodas, a couple of juices. I prefer not to have alcohol at the trim party, but if you've got responsible friends who may want a glass of wine or one beer, that's your place. You're all adults. Do what you want to do. But go grab a couple of drinks for the people. I like a Jarritos. Mike would be just happy with a Jarritos. Going and grabbing the drinks that your friends and your trim crew want just shows that you want them to be there and you want them comfortable, and they will trim longer and they will be happier. So go get them some snacks and drinks. Also, tip your trim crew at the end of the day. I don't know what you're paying them. I don't know what kind of deal you've got worked out, but a little tip of some sort always makes people happy. They'll come back tomorrow, trim harder, trim better, and they'll remember you, and everybody likes a little bit of a tip like that. That's just how I do it. You don't have to do it that way. But all the trim crew is going, yeah, bro, fucking tip me out. I worked hard. I didn't steal. I did a good job. I had to listen to your music all day. Tip me the fuck out. All right. So something I wrote down here, I talked about this last year. Don't rub your eyes, bro. Do not rub your eyes. When you're trimming, if your eye itches, if your nose itches, don't touch it. Because as soon as you touch your eyeball when you've been trimming, it is going to feel like fire. Trichomes in your eyes are one of the worst things ever. I remember doing a video about this last year. Guys, when you're trimming, when you're harvesting, don't touch your eyes. All that sticky shit ends up in your eye, and it is the worst feeling you will ever endure. We're going to move on from that because I remember saying this last year. Also, when we're setting up for harvest and trimming, if you've got people coming over for a while, be mindful and courteous of the podcasts and or music that you play. I get it. It's my house. It's my music. But if you're into something extreme, like I like Fish. I know that Fish, the band Fish, is not everybody's cup of tea. I was going to try something smart ass to say, but it's not everybody's cup of tea. And I get that. I may play some Fish, but not enough to make you want to punch yourself in the face. Some people, it's only one or two songs, so they do want to punch themselves in the face for Fish. I get that. So I'll throw down one good song, and we heard Fish, and we'll move on. But think about who's coming over. I'm not telling you what to do at your place, but the trimmers will trim better if they're happier. They'll stick around longer if they're happier, and they'll come back to trim more if they're happier. If you play fucking Cannibal Corpse all day for the wrong crowd, they're not coming back. Of course, if Joe's coming over, play Cannibal Corpse all day. I got a friend named Joe. Shout out, bro. He will listen to Cannibal Corpse with us all day, but not everybody wants the same shit like that all day long. So mix it up. Find out what people like. Be courteous. Not everybody wants to listen to Joe Rogan all day. Not everybody wants to listen to Legion of Skanks all day. Try to be mindful. All I'm saying, guys, is if you want the Trim Crew to come back, give them what they like. Don't run them off. Don't scare them away. Show them that you care about them and that they're invited and that you like them. What else do we got for you? Comfortable chairs, dude. A good comfortable chair at the right height will make a trimmer trim much longer or take a lot more smoke breaks. If you're set up too low and you're hunched and you're fucking struggling all day, all of your back is going to hurt. Those trimmers are going to need more snack breaks. They're going to take more phone breaks. They're going to take more cigarette breaks just to get out of that damn chair and stretch around. You'll see them walking around your grow. You'll see them wandering outside. They'll just be doing other shit than trimming because the chair sucks. So try to have good, comfortable chairs and good, comfortable seating. Also, a table at a reasonable height that matches those fucking chairs. Also, trim bins. If you can get some kind of trim tray or trim bin that a trimmer can set directly in their lap and be comfortable with and trim right on their own lap, it's ergonomical if you buy the good trim bins. Ergonomical, that's the right word. Yeah, it's good for their body. They can sit with proper posture, and they can get the trim bin on their arms or on the table, and they can trim how they need it and not have to do weird shit with their neck and back and shoulders and arms. I know it just seems like they're sitting there all day listening to music, eating snacks, but guys, it is taxing on your body to trim for more than 2 or 3 or 4 hours. It starts to hurt. It starts to suck. You need the proper gear, the proper setup. Speaking of proper gear and proper setup, how about good lighting? We need some good bright lighting, but also not overwhelming lighting. The right color of lighting, the bright white lighting, really helps for trimming. If you can get the lights closer to the trim area, that's even better. Some places offer a little movable lights for some of the trimmers. I've seen places offer the lights with the magnifying glass in it so you can get a big view. And you can, so if you're older, if you're going blind, you can trim from far away. Shout out to my buddy Gay Blind Mike. You can even trim at the Trim Crew now, bro. We got tools for you, although I don't want to give that guy scissors. All right, where were we? We're talking about good lighting, good gear. Basically, think about all of this before you start cutting down the plant. I don't want to see you in a situation where you just chop down a plant and you've got it sitting on a table or hanging up somewhere precariously while you've got to run to the hardware store and run to the grocery store and go get a couple of snacks and a couple of 5-gallon buckets and some whatever else you forgot. I'd rather you just be super prepared now. So I'm trying to give you a heads up and a list of the things that I use and that you may use when it comes to harvest time. So get your space ready. Have a space ready not only to chop down and do the work, but a space to hang all of that harvest. However much harvest you've got, it's going to take about probably, I don't know how well you did, but think at least half of that space where you're growing, you're going to need that much space to hang this and let it dry. So start prepping for your space. Start prepping your space where you're going to do the work and where you're going to do the hang and where you're going to do the trim. Then also the dry and cure. Do you have jars? Do you have something to dry and cure this in? We did not even get that far in my little talk here. I got us up to trimming. That's as far as I got. You're going to need bins to collect the trimmed flowers in. You're going to need bins for the trim. You're going to need trash bags for all the waste. There are a lot of things to think about if we want to go all the way up to right to the point of dry and cure. You're definitely going to need more scissors. You're going to need to clean those scissors. Scissors for each person. I like to have 2 pairs of scissors per person. So when one gets too sticky, drop the other one in the alcohol or the coconut oil. Use the other pair for a while. Let that other pair soak. Anyway, I'm getting nonsensical now talking about all the small details. But as time goes on, you're going to need trash bags. You're going to need trim trays. You're going to need containers for all of the buds that have been trimmed. So you've got Trim Crew there. They're chopping shit up. They're going to have waste. That's got to go somewhere. What are you going to do with all the waste? Have you thought about this? If you've got a big harvest, you're going to have a bunch of sticks. Are you going to be comfortable putting all those sticks in the outdoor trash? Do you have a fire pit that maybe you could burn those in out in the backyard? Have a little party. Just randomly throw some of those sticks in there. Get rid of them that way. You're going to have a lot of waste. You're going to have trim. What are you going to do with all the trim? Are you going to make edibles? Do you know somebody that can make concentrates? Maybe some of the trimmers want some of the trim as a tip. They might want to go make their own edibles or something with it. Do you have a strategy for all that? Do you have storage for all that? What are you going to do with the trimmed weed? Do you have jars? Do you have buckets? What's going to happen to all that? How are you going to dry and cure it? That's the next thing to think about. All right, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, pimps and hoes, friends, foes, smokers, growers, clone cutters, pollen chuckers, all of you beautiful cannabis enthusiasts, I do thank you for sticking around for this episode about mostly bud washing and then continuing a little bit into the harvest phase. I hope you learned a lot from me. If you stuck around this far, you do deserve a coupon code. That's right. Make sure you check iredirect.com. While you're there, use coupon code HARVEST. That code will give you 25% off of your full order for the rest of this month. This will be the last sale and last coupon code that I do offer before Black Friday. That's right. There will not be any more sales or coupon codes until Black Friday. So once this coupon code expires, Black Friday will be your next option. I keep saying Black Friday because I want to advertise for Black Friday. That's right. There will be new stuff. There will be new drops. There will be a lot of steals and deals. And also, my Black Friday sale is never on Black Friday. That shit always starts at least a week, sometimes 2 weeks early. So stay tuned for that Black Friday sale. If you're eager for beans right now, you can use that coupon code HARVEST. You will save 25% off your entire order for the rest of the month of October. But stay tuned for the Black Friday sale. For details on that Black Friday sale, make sure you do hit the website and join the newsletter. At the bottom of iregenetics.com, there's a tab that says Stay Up to Date. Just type in your email address, hit join, you'll join the newsletter. I send out a newsletter. I try to do it once a month every 2 weeks. I've also given it a rest because I felt like I was overloading you. So try not to spam you with too many newsletters. But when the Black Friday sale is coming, you will get a heads up. You will get a notice when it starts, and you can be a part of the Black Friday action. That way you don't miss any of the drops, the fresh stuff, because there will be some good steals and deals for Black Friday. Wow, I said that a lot more times. What's coming on Black Friday, you may ask? A brand new strain called Ruby Waves. What? Ruby Waves coming soon, bro. There will be a restock of the Double Lemon Skunk, and also a brand new thing that I'm not even going to say the name of it. It will be very limited. It will be very brand new. And I'm not going to say the name yet because we'll talk more about that in the very near future. What else do we have for you? I've got a whole bunch of notes here that are all scrambled. My brain is scrambled. We're going to get back to the computer notes. That's where we are. Coupon code HARVEST. There we go. Join the mailing list. Also, if you have any questions, corrections, comments, or concerns, you can send me an email. The email address is growfromyourheart@hotmail.com. Don't be shy. Reach out. Let me know what you think or leave a comment down below. Let me know what you think in the comments section. I do love comments. Also, don't forget about the Patreon campaign at patreon.com/growfromyourheart. Everything else you could possibly need is on my website, iregenetics.com. There's a link to the Discord server. You could join us on Discord. There's a link to the iRedirect where you can buy seeds. There's a link to the Patreon server. There's a link to the Grow Help tab. Everything you need is at iregenetics.com. Go click around. All right, podcast world, that is all I've got for you for this episode. I'll be back in a week with fresh new content. I want to give a big shout out to my friend Val. And until next time, take a fat dab and give your mom a hug for me.
Rasta Jeff, you bad motherfucker.
Time to take another dab. Grab your piece and then I go find the bag. Rasta Jeff is in the lab. Sit back, Pokemon, we relax.
Roots and wisdom start to show from the knowledge seeds we grow. Tune in now to hear the vibe, Rasta Jeff in our conscious tribe. He spreads the truth in every word. Every voice must now be heard. Healing light through cannabis. Grow from your heart, cure bliss. Rise up higher, find your way. From your hearts every day. In the light we stand real strong. Join the movement, sing the song. Natural medicine and love flows within us like a dove. Educate and elevate. Join the journey, don't be late. Open minds to see the truth. In the soil lies the proof. Rasta Jeff will guide you through. In this garden, find the new. Rise up higher, find your way. Grow from your hearts every day. In the light, we stand real strong. Join the movement, sing the song. Ooh, 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 soil lies the proof. Rasta Jeff will guide you through. In this garden, find the new. Rise up higher, find your way. Grow from your hearts every day.